Welcome to the Mommy Beta Podcast. This is episode 65, and we are four new mommies beta testing parenthood. We have two mommies on the line, my good friend Alex and myself. I'm Natalie Morris. Welcome. Today, we're going to talk about a Bumble recall. We're going to talk a little bit about Bringing Up Bebe, the French book on parenting that has been so popular. We have one of us who has read it. Hint, it wasn't me. And we have a blog that I thought worth talking about, Six Fights Worth Having with Your Husband Over Parenting, and also Telling White Lies in Front of Your Children. Hint, don't do it. So, Alex, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Glad to be here. It's been a while.
It has been a while. I miss you.
I missed you too.
Yeah. So, it's been, you know, it's been a fun couple of weeks. We've got a new baby beta. We've got a new pregnant mommy beta. We've got Alex running around and with little Reese getting smarter and prettier by the minute.
Oh, thank you. And you've been homesick with a husband. You haven't been sick. The husband has been sick.
Yeah, we have a daddy with pneumonia. I mean, who gets pneumonia? He's not 90. I know. It's been tough because it was like having three kids. You know, he couldn't even feed himself. So I literally had to feed three people, like spoon feeding him because it just knocks you on your backside, literally. But, you know, at the end of the day, I was telling him, we were discussing just sort of marriage and romance. And he's like, oh, you know, this is really romantic. And I said, actually, it is, though, because it means that I'm the one who takes care of you. I wouldn't want someone else to do it. You know, I'm lucky to be the person to do it.
Now, that's true love.
Yeah, yeah, it is. When you're like, you know, oh, he needs me. And would I, you know, when, am I thinking, oh, I wish I didn't have to do this? Of course I don't think that. You know, I'm just glad to be the one to see him get better. So, but you feel like that about your kids, right? You don't want to take care of them when they're sick, but you don't want someone else to.
Absolutely. Yeah. Not. It's actually pretty funny when my mother-in-law comes to visit. She's very sweet, and she takes care of me and Josh. And it's weird to have somebody else, you know, in our home taking care of my husband. It just is. And not that she's only taking care of him. She takes care of me, Reese, my husband. But I understand. I like to be the one to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Even, you know, I thought about it, if it were Miles that had pneumonia and he were married and 35 and his mom is 2 hours away, and she called a lot, and, you know, I sent her many, many updates, and she was very brave about it. And I thought, oh, I wouldn't like this at all if it were my little boy, even if he's 35.
You have many years to get used to that.
I'm sure. But, you know, go ahead.
Sorry, I'm laughing because Josh and I had this conversation about, you know, Reese is going to go off to college, and it just flew out of my mouth. And I said, well, we're moving to wherever she goes to college. He's like, you're crazy, which I am. We're not really moving to wherever she goes, but I think it's a motherly instinct. You just want to be near your child.
Yeah, that's how I feel. That's why I want both of my kids to go to school in the Bay Area, because I'm from there. And I thought it'd be such a great way for me to go back there. But I also want them to experience life in the Bay Area, because it's the best place ever.
Yes, it is. I love it.
Anyway, well, let's talk about this Bumbo recall. Surely our listeners have heard about this, but if you haven't, the Bumbo is that foamy seat that they sit in, I would say from the ages of about 3 to 4 months to maybe 6 months. They grow out of it quickly, but while they're in it, it's usually a really great tool to sit them up. But it's being recalled because so many babies are having injuries when they fall from a raised surface, and they're experiencing skull fractures. It said something like 34 incidents where children fell over on the floor from an unknown elevation. Now, we did use our Bumbo once on a raised surface on a countertop so that we could give him his first feeding, just so that we could film it and we could both be involved. But never did I use it other than that. It was just the one time.
Yes, and never would I.
Yeah, but apparently, you know, and it says so on the box, don't put this on raised surfaces because you can't secure it anywhere. But this company is basically eating it. Any Bumbo that's been sold since, I want to say 2003, I can't find it right in front of me, but any Bumbo sold since then, they have a kit, which I'm interested in what the kit does. If it just straps them in better, or there's a phone number that you can call, and we'll make sure we put that in the show notes as well. But you know, my friend and I were kind of instant messaging. We're like, well, yeah, it's because people are morons. But, you know, I'm on the fence. I don't want to call people morons for leaving the Bumbo up there. And I've heard people say, oh, we didn't know, we shouldn't use it up there. But, you know, it's maybe a little common sense. Yeah, what do you think?
You know, so my heart goes out to anybody who's ever had a hurt child. That's just, you know, no one deserves that. At the same time, when you get something, make sure to read the box. It is common sense. Don't leave your child alone on a raised surface. Like, I would have never, ever done that. And I'm a worrywart, and I guess I'm more cautious than others. But kudos to the company for taking action and saying, hey, we will take responsibility. We want to fix the problem. At the same time, they did warn people that's not what the Bumbo is for.
Right, right. And even when I put him on the Bumbo on the floor, he started to tip after a while. And that's sort of how you know that they're outgrowing the Bumbo, is they start to reach out of it. And so it's not the safest thing. You just can't leave them unattended. I mean, they're babies. You can't leave them unattended at all, really.
Right.
So, so if you, we'll make sure we put the phone number for the Fix-It kit, and the dates again are between August 2003 and August 2012. If you bought any Bumbo in the last basically 10 years, then you want to get that fixed. My friend was saying that, and I was kind of testing last week to see if Ava is ready for the Bumbo, because she's 3 months now, and she was she's a little wobbly, so it's not really great yet. And she was saying, oh yeah, I can't wait to put my little infant in the Bumbo so that we can bathe them together. And I was like, oh, that's an idea, to put the Bumbo in the bath. Have you ever thought of that?
No, that actually might work. Oh wait, wouldn't it float?
I don't know.
It's rubber. But if it didn't, yeah, that's
not a good idea. I mean, the purpose is so that I can bathe two of them, right? So I have Miles in the bath, and then Ava's like floating by. Hello. I don't know. I will get back to you on that. But again, we are not safety experts. Please don't do what I do, but I will let you know if
that works. Okay, so I need to put that on my to-do list. I need to send that back.
Yeah, or I think, like I said, they gave you a kit, but I don't know what the kit involves. So we'll make sure that we report on that, because I was going to call the phone number today. Okay. Moving on. So you posted about this book, Bringing Up Bebe, which has been on my to-read list for quite a while. And it's about how French women raise their children differently than American women. And I love your take from it, but you started out saying you don't agree with everything. So what are the things that you don't agree with before you tell me the things that you do?
Okay, so let me start by saying I really enjoyed the book, and I read it 7 or 8 months ago. So I am going to post a blog about what I don't agree with. And so I want to focus today on just kind of giving an overview and talking about some of the highlights from that. But I mean, overall, I think it's one of those books that you take it with a grain of salt. It's not like it's a how to raise your kid, you know, like a French mom. Because that's not what I want to do. We're American. We live in America. Things are different. But I think there were some really, really good points that the author brings up. And one of them was that she was kind of poking fun that Americans, you know, American parents are obsessed. And I want to say American mothers, you know, as soon as we find out that we're pregnant, we obsess over how much we read. We want to read all the latest books on parenting and child raising.
Right.
And you know, our minds go crazy. I remember emailing, all the mommy betas, like, oh my gosh, did you hear about this? And, you know, we can't eat this. We can't do this. Is this safe? It's taxing. Just thinking about it is taxing.
Right. Yeah.
Apparently, French women don't do this. They have, you know, a more, she calls it a sensible approach, and they don't worry about the unlikely worst case scenarios. So I really like that, you know, they don't worry about everything that they're eating. It's not like they're drinking all the time. It's not like they're eating raw oysters all the time, but you know, the occasional unpasteurized cheese here and there. And again, I'm not condoning it, and I'm not saying I'm going to do that, but I think overall, just the point is to be a little more, you can be a little more relaxed. And so I'm curious to know if you were a lot more relaxed in that regard with your second pregnancy.
I definitely was. And you and Jennifer did the story recently on a Mommy Beta podcast about how women who are more relaxed have shorter labors. So it just doesn't serve us psychologically or physically to really obsess about this kind of stuff.
Right.
You know, like I didn't heat up lunch meat. I didn't, you know, avoid soft cheeses. These are things where I was like, really, though, you know, people have eaten this stuff from, and I just don't think lunch meat's the safest thing to eat anyway. So that's why I didn't really freak out about that kind of stuff. I just, in general, you know, just took a big fat chill pill. So,
and it's you know, in a first time pregnancy, you know, in their defense, like, I was new. I wanted to know everything. I wanted to read every book. And I remember I had to pull away because I was just obsessed and I was freaking myself out. Like, oh my God, what if this happens during pregnancy? What if this happens during delivery?
Right. Yeah. That was not. Even Jennifer had sent me an article when we were both pregnant with our first that said, oh my gosh, frozen yogurt is bad. And I lived off of that stuff. And I was like, okay, really? Frozen yogurt is going to really do harm to my... to my unborn child. And I was like, enough, enough.
Yes. So, you know, we just have to take a step back and kind of, we can laugh at it now. And I think, you know, when I'm pregnant with number two, I'll be a lot more relaxed. So that'll be nice. Another thing that I found interesting is that the French don't, you know, per se sleep train. They do something called the pause, which is branded by the author. And it just means that French parents don't automatically run to their baby as soon as they hear a whimper at night or, you know, during the day when they're napping. Mm-hmm. So instead, they wait and observe to see what the baby really needs. You know, maybe they're just settling or they're trying to connect their sleep cycles. And I thought this was interesting because when I first brought Reese home, I heard a little whimper and I was up and I picked her up. I'm like, oh, it's okay. It's okay. And part of that, I could have been waking her up. When she was just really, you know, babies make noises. She could have just been trying to get back to sleep.
Yeah, that's a good point. I remember once, you know, Miles was making a few little grunts and I ran to him and Clayton's like, come on, leave him alone. I was like, I'm his mommy. He needs me to make everything better. Now I look and I think, what a crazy lady I was.
Yes. And it's easy to, you know, as a first time parent, you know, you look back and you're like, oh my gosh, I was a nut.
Right.
So I think had I read this before I had Reese, I thought that I'd probably think this book is just, you know, bullshit.
Right.
And since some of it is, but I think, you know, again, you kind of pick and choose. And these are just some points that I thought were pretty interesting. I think just one more thing I wanted to share is the baby meal plan. I thought this was, they call it a baby, their national meal plan. And it's that all of the French children are on roughly the same feeding schedule. Uh-huh. You know, they have breakfast around 8, lunch, an afternoon snack around 4, 4:30, and then dinner. So there's no snacking in between. There's no mid-morning snack. You know, unlike American parents who I think a majority carry snacks in their purses and diaper bags, you know I always have tons of snacks on hand. The French don't believe in this.
Yeah. And they don't do this to themselves either. They kind of put them on their own schedule. And there was a book that I was reading by Michael Pollan called In Defense of Food. And they were talking about how in America, we do this weird thing where we think that the babies need different food than we do. So we give them full fat stuff and then we give ourselves genetically modified versions of it. And we give them food more often and we give ourselves food less often. And we just do weird things to ourselves as adults. And they don't do this overseas. They think people need to eat when they need to eat. And so they eat a lot more sensibly and they don't graze throughout the day, which I thought was interesting.
And because they don't graze throughout the day, they claim that the French children are eating their protein, their veggies, and everything that's put in front of them for dinner because they actually are hungry.
Right. And it's France and the food is better there too. So the food is just, you know, I think we've talked about this on another podcast. They don't really believe in genetically modified food in France. Food is sacred over there. So the food is just better. As well. So, of course, you're going to eat everything that's on your plate because it's French food.
Well, the author also claims, which I don't know if I buy, but the author claims that in France, the children will sit at a restaurant and eat, you know, 3-4 courses, and they'll sit there patiently, not whining, not complaining, not running around, not needing to be distracted. And I can't imagine a toddler doing that, not needing some, you know, a color crayon and, you know, a piece of paper. To sit through a 3-4 course meal?
I don't know. You know, my neighbor is French and she takes her three little boys. Well, she hasn't taken the third yet, but she took her two little boys to France a couple of times. And she says they don't even have high chairs there when you go into a restaurant. So they expect children to assimilate into real life. They don't, you know, it's not common for them to have like a menu that you can color on and things like that.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know. Reese is a really good toddler in restaurants, you know, but when she's done with her food, she gets bored easily. She wants to run around and play. And, you know, I don't blame her. You know, she's two.
Right. I don't know how that's done either. And that's sort of a point that's been talked about a lot when this book came out. And I'm curious. I have no idea if that's true or not, but
I have a friend, and I'll share these when she gets back. She's on vacation, but she had texted me and said, yeah, she read the book and she has some really strong feelings about it. But I remember at one point she had shared that in France, you know, the restaurants are so small, so there's not an opportunity for children to get out of their seats and run around. Whereas here in America, the restaurants are huge and there's lots of space. So, you know, there is that opportunity. And yeah, she didn't agree with a lot of what's in the book. So I'll definitely be sharing what she has to say because, one, I've never been to France and I don't know that many French people. So
yeah, I honeymooned in France and we went on a train to Bordeaux from Paris. And it turned out that in Bordeaux that day there was like a circus, an event that families in Paris were going to because it was a big family event. And so we were on a train with many, many families. And we saw dads by themselves with little kids and moms by themselves, and they all had sort of activities. They had iPads and coloring books and things to keep the kids occupied on the train. So I don't know why a restaurant would be any different, but maybe again, it's that French mentality that eating is sacred. I don't know. I would love to raise my child with that mentality too. Just yes. Tell me how.
Yeah, I don't know. The book doesn't go into any great detail, but I think overall, I mean, it's a good read. You know, again, take it with a grain of salt. And what I'm getting, it seems like the French do the firm but loving parenting style.
Yeah.
Very firm but loving.
And those are the kind of things that we can always take something away from it, but we don't necessarily have to say, well, you know, I mean, we are not French. So, right. You know, we're going to do things our own way, but it's always good to, and I think, you know, we get so hysterical about gear and, you know, rules and as Americans and, you know, mommies get so crazy that it's always good. Anything that can sort of give us a reality check and get us to calm the F down is a good thing.
Like that. It's very true. I, you know, regarding their baby meal plan, I kind of read it and laughed. I'm like, that's kind of funny. And, you know, within a couple of weeks, I noticed Reese was just asking for a snack like every 10 minutes. And, you know, she's in the 25th percentile. She's not a big girl. She eats breakfast, lunch, and dinner. For breakfast, she'll have two eggs, toast, and fruit. I mean, she eats a lot. So, you know, the doctor said, well, maybe she needs it. So I just kept doing it and doing it. And, you know, before you know, I was just tired, so tired from feeding her all day. I said, okay, this isn't working for me. So I said, I'm going to do what the French do. And I did. I installed except I added a snack. It was, you know, breakfast, snack, lunch, snack, and dinner. And after about 3 or 4 days, she acclimated to the new routine, and it saved me so much time and a lot of hassle preparing all the snacks.
Yeah.
Well, that lasted a month. And since then, we've fallen back into the pretty much snacks anytime.
But if you know she's not hungry, you know, it's up to you to decide what your child needs. And so, speaking of what you need, we're going to thank our show sponsor, Drobo, before we move on to this story about 6 things to fight with your husband over. Drobo is our show sponsor, and they are a line of external hard drives for your digital life. Everyone needs to back up their data. We're talking about pictures and documents, movies, photos, any kind of keepsake that you want to keep store safely. You don't want to store it on your hard drive because if you have a computer crash, then you're hosed. You don't want to, of course, store it on your phone. It's your only storage device, because what if you lose that phone? So you need to be backing up, and you know, experts recommend that you back up to the cloud, but also to a hard drive that you own. And Drobo is a really great way to do that. They have a line of drives. Go on over to drobo.com and you can go to the How It Works button and find the one that meets your needs. You probably don't need a whole business solution, but you know, I had a 250 gig external hard drive that I filled up with just vacation photos from the last 4 or 5 years. And that's just my life. So now that I have a family, we share a 3 terabyte drive, and that's a lot of data, but you know, we take a lot of pictures of our little ones, and how heartbroken would you be to lose that? So head on over to drobo.com. and see which storage solution works for you. It's really easy to do. It's safe. It's secure. And again, it's just prudent because our little ones deserve their memories to be kept safe. So thank you, Drobo.com, for your support of the Mommy Beta podcast. Moving on, this is a blog I found on Babbel, and the title was Six Fights Worth Having with Your Husband. And I liked this one because I think a lot of times it's not, you know, really condoning fighting with your marriage, but it's or with your husband, but it's about things that you should stand up for. And sometimes I do second guess myself when I'm like, oh, I don't know, should we take him to the doctor? Should we not? Or, you know, should I discipline him about this or should I not? So these are six tips that you should really stand your ground on. And the first one, of course, is if you should take your child to see a doctor. And this is something we all, again, second guess ourselves on. But if your instinct is telling you to take your child to the doctor and your husband's like, ah, no, they'll be fine, usually your gut is right. And even if it's just, you know, a little copay, but you go there and you hear that they are going to be fine, usually that is so much better for the whole family. Is this a fight that you guys have in your house, Alex?
No, never. Josh is so supportive. I really do appreciate that. You know, if I say Reese needs to go to the doctor, you know, he helps make the appointment. He's all about it. And I think he knows that if I feel better about the situation is going to be much better. But if I'm worrying about, you know, up all night, should I have taken her? Should I take her in the morning? You know, he's going to be up all night stressing too.
Yeah. So it's always a good thing to listen to your gut. Another one I thought was interesting is when, you know, he undermines your parenting authority, then that's a fight you should have. And maybe not a fight, but, you know, you do need to present a united front in front of the kids, because if you say no, you can't have this, and then they give that to them behind your back, that's definitely not a good thing. Do you guys talk about how to present a united front?
You know, we're pretty united. There are a few things I think that we disagree on. You know, for example, sometimes I feel like he's too firm with Reese, you know, when he tells her no, she can't do something, you know, little things like that. And I make sure never to say in front of her, you know, you can be a little less firm, or, you know, I don't think we should do it this way. And he's very, he just takes everything and takes it in. And I think he appreciates the feedback because I'm with her 24/7, you know, I'm with her all week. So, you know, he looks to me as kind of the expert, which is nice.
Yeah, that is nice. And my parents were always really strict about this. And they would say, if you ask me something and I say no, and then you go and ask either mom or dad for a different answer, then the answer is automatically no, because you've been playing us. So we knew better, that we couldn't, right, you know, play one against the other. So that's a
really good idea. I'm going to implement that too when she gets older.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it stank for us because we couldn't get our way that way, but but we just knew that, like, if we couldn't play the odds that way.
Right. What about you and Clayton?
Yeah, we've talked about that a lot, about how, you know, you never want to undermine in front of the kids, and if we disagree on something, then we'll talk about it later. But we're both pretty, we talk about parenting a lot when they go to bed, and so we're both usually on the same page when it comes time to implement something, because we've been talking about it. And sometimes I feel like I can't talk about anything but. a couple other things that this blog gives some really good advice on: if, you know, daddy is working too much, time to say something. If he's not doing enough, time to say something. I think we've talked about this a lot on the Mommy Beta podcast as well, as when, you know, we need a little more help, we have to say that. We have to say so, because they can't read our mind. And then it brews resentment, which is always bad. If he's a spender or a cheapskate, you want to talk about that kind of thing. And if he only shows affection when he's looking for action, then you want to have that fight as well. So that sounds like a child.
Not okay, right?
Yeah. So these are not, you know, anything, I guess, too blaring in my household, but I think it was good for me to see this post and just remember that if I think I need to take the kids to see the doctor, I should just do it, you know.
Yeah.
We don't need to have a fight about it. Although, like I said, he had pneumonia last week and he did not want to go to the doctor, and I dragged him there 2 days in a row to get that diagnosis. And so mommy was right.
Good for you. Yeah. I don't like the title, Six Fights. Just because they're not really fights. I think they're more of discussions and issues that should be brought up versus fights.
Yeah, I agree with you. Probably better but title is things drama. That you should
address. It made me open
address.
It and read it.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, Yeah,
that doesn't sound very appealing. I don't know if I would have read the article if it said things to address with your husband.
Right. Six things that you should calmly address in order for happiness in your family life. Yeah, not so catchy. All right. Well, we'll close up with a funny story. I posted this blog about telling little white lies in front of your children. And it's just a good lesson for me because I realized that you cannot do it. So last week, Miles went to get a haircut and he was really unhappy about it. He cried and, you know, he let the woman cut his hair, but it was all drama. And so I was like, okay, well, let's go get a milk at Starbucks. And, you know, I go and get him his own little milk. It's like a little treat and he likes to go there. And so that was his reward for being a good boy. So we went there and it was my fault. I should have taken him pee, but I didn't. And my little one, Ava, she needed to nurse, so I had just waited too long before I took him. So he sat down, and as soon as he started to drink his soy milk, he started to pee all over the floor. And so I scooped him up and threw him in the bathroom, and I rolled Ava in there, and still in her stroller. And then I leaned over to the counter, and I said, "I'm sorry, we had a big spill," which of course is a white lie. And usually I will tell them, you know, like, "I'm sorry, my son's potty training, and we had an accident." And Clayton gets so embarrassed about it. He's like, "Just tell them we spilled something. They don't need to know." And I'm like, I would rather tell them the truth, because if they smell urine, then they're going to be like, "Oh, that family's trying to get away with something." But
and they might want to use a different mop or wash the mop a little better.
Right. You know, and he's like, "Oh, what are they going to think about us?" And we had this discussion in a Home Depot once, and he's like, "If he goes, just tell him that he spilled something." And I'm like, "What is he spilled what in a Home Depot?" And I was like, "You think this pimply 19-year-old kid got potty training right out of the gate and never had an accident in public?" I'm like, all of us, every person walking this planet had a learning curve with peeing, learning to pee in the potty. So
it's really funny that he's so embarrassed about it.
He's just, you know, mortified about it. And so if he were there, he was home with pneumonia, but if he were with us in that Starbucks, he would have died. So he said, you know, "I just said, I'm sorry, we had a quick spill," and I dashed into the bathroom. Well, I came out and another guy was sitting at that table, so I couldn't even go and protect the spill. You know, the guy was kind of sitting near it, and I was like, "Oh, I should tell this other guy not to sit there," but he's not really so whatever. And then the barista came out, and he was a big guy, like an Irish looking beard, you know, hefty, and he had a mop and he wheeled it out and he started to clean it. And I just tried not to make eye contact, and then Miles saw him and he goes, "That guy clean the pee-pee." He pointed at him and he yelled, and I blushed so red and I just tried not to make eye contact, and the guy didn't look at me back, thankfully. He just had the politeness to pretend not to notice, but he just kept saying it, "That guy clean the pee-pee." And I said, "Yes, he is."
There's no volume control.
I know. And I tried to talk softly so that he would mirror me, and I said, "Yes, that's very nice of him." He goes, "Yes, nice. Thank you, clean the pee-pee. Thank you." And so it was a good lesson for me that you can't pull off lies in front of your children. I guess, nor should you, right?
That is way too funny. Well, it just goes to show, you know, they're growing up and they get this stuff, because I used to tell white lies, or, you know, before. And now she's repeating stuff and her memory is just crazy. Also, we were at the zoo the other day and I said, "Hey, we're going to see the giraffes and then the gorillas." And then instead, I wanted to go home after the giraffes. And she said, "Mommy, gorilla, gorilla." I was like, oh, damn.
Yeah. You can't get away with anything.
Well, I can't. Well, you know, again, like you said, kudos to Miles for being so polite and saying thank you for cleaning pee-pee.
Yeah. And someone wrote this little nasty comment like, "Why would you expect someone else to clean up your urine?" And I, you know, I would love to clean it up myself, but I was also trying to clean him up and get him out of the situation so he stopped peeing on the floor. And I don't carry him up. And, you know, I tried to, when I started potty training, to carry towels with me. And I just don't, you know, he's gotten so far along that he has so few accidents. And I just am not always ready to clean up that pee. So, I felt a little bad about that.
And you have two kids. I mean, It'd be really hard. I just feel like you wrote that post. I forget the title, but basically, you know, mothers should just help mothers out.
Right. Well, everyone should help mothers out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just show a little kindness, like human decency. Jeez.
Right. So anyway, yeah, you know, the whole thing was my bad. I should have been more prepared. I should have taken him potty when he needed to go earlier. I should have, you know, been prepared to clean the spill. I should have not lied. It's all like the whole point of the blog is that it was my bad. So it's not like I think that I was I wasn't the golden child, so to speak, in this situation.
Well, lesson learned, right? What are you going to do?
Yeah. Anyhow, well, we'd like to close up the Mommy Beta podcast with a little victory, and we'll let Alex take it.
Thank you. I kind of shared a couple weeks ago that Reese started a preschool summer camp. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the first week, she was fine. She would cry for a few minutes after I left. And the second week, she said, "Mommy, go home. Reese, you want to go home?" I'm like, "No, sweetie, we're going to stay." And she stayed without crying, so that was great. And she's been going to this weekly drop-off class every Wednesday for a few weeks. And we've been reading Macy Goes to Preschool every day. And so it was so amazing. I've taught her four things. She knows Reese go preschool, Mommy says bye-bye, Reese plays and reads, Mommy gets Reese. And so she can say all of that. And she knows that I'm going to come back. So yesterday was the first day. You know, she doesn't cry anymore. She hasn't cried for weeks. But yesterday was the first day that I dropped her off. And she looks at me and she goes, "Bye-bye, Mommy," and gives me a hug and runs off and plays. It was the sweetest thing.
Oh, that's cute. Although, did it make you a little sad that she was ready for you to go?
That's hilarious. I told Josh my feelings were a little bit hurt. She didn't need me.
Yeah.
Even though I'm so happy and I know it's good for her, I was a little sad.
Well, good for her though. That, I mean, it's so rewarding though to see them having fun, even if they don't always need you for it. And
right.
She still needs you a lot. You know, I noticed this so much with Miles that he just needs one-on-one playtime with me a lot. But he also needs playtime with other kids. So yeah. Our little kids, they don't need us. Wah. Although, you know, this is another, I think this is a topic for another podcast, because in the last couple of weeks, I think I've been sort of telling myself that, like, oh, you get through this infant stage and then, you know, maybe I can pick up my career a bit more when they get a little older, or maybe they won't need me. And mothers of children, I want to say between the ages of like 8 and 16 have been telling me they need you more. When they just need you in a different way. And I thought, oh my God, I'm lying to myself. So this is a post that I think maybe we can talk about next week, because
I think you should definitely write about that. My mom raised four kids and she definitely has said the older you get, the more they need. So right now she's telling me, go on trips. You know, the in-laws will come or she'll come. And you and Josh, this is your time to be together, because as they get older, they do need you. You're even a bigger role model for them.
Yeah. So I think I'm fooling myself, but I'll be really interested in what other moms have to say about this. Yeah. So this reality check. But we'll talk about that next week. That wraps up our show for this week. Thanks so much for listening to episode 65. And you can always comment on the things that we're talking about. We'll put the show notes at mommybeta.com. We're also on Twitter, Mommy Beta, and Mommy Beta on Facebook. And you can email us, mb@mommybeta.com. Thanks again for listening. It was so good to catch up with you, Alex.
You too.
Have a good week, everyone.